Lou and Matt for breakfast. The Borders 105.7 Triple M.
Actually, a pretty momentous morning this morning, Lou, as we came to grips with the fact that Australian music is finally going to be back live music again in 2021. It's been so long on a large scale, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The 2021 Sounds Better Together concert this Monday at All Saints Estate. It is going to be fantastic to see live music again.
Yeah, it's bloody exciting. I mean, obviously, they've had the live music in small venues for a little while now, but we haven't had one of the big, proper big concerts.
Yeah.
And so it gives that sense of normality, doesn't it? That life's going to be okay when we've got live music doing what it does best, which is making us all feel awesome.
Yeah, so true.
And let's go through the lineup then, Lou.
Let's do it. So, it's all in the beginning. You probably haven't heard from her for a while, but Deborah Conway. Oh, Dazza. It's not a concert around here unless Daryl Braithwaite's involved,
so right.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you are so right. He's been involved in so many awesome ones as well. Day on the Greens from All Saints, which is where this Sounds Better Together concert is going to be on Monday, out in the Gateway Lakes for Red Hot Summer.
I've seen him at the SS&A Club. Yeah. Like, he's been on everywhere.
Yeah, but this is the big one, isn't it? The great man as well. And we're looking forward to talking to him as well on Wednesday morning. But that's so cool. And the tickets are like 1990s ticket prices.
Yeah, it's such an affordable ticket, $49.90 for a ticket. Limited tickets, of course, because less numbers because of COVID. But still, such an affordable price. And bonus, the following day after the concert's Australia Day, so you get
day
off.
That's it. And here's a hot tip. Get onto it straight away. If you're listening to this after midday, which you will be on Tuesday, just jump on straight away, honestly. SoundsBetterTogether.com, because I reckon the tickets aren't going to last very long because numbers are much less than they would be at a Day on the Green, because obviously it's got to be COVID safe as well.
Yeah.
So do that now, and let's get it started. Let's get 2021 started in the best possible way for live music, and that is making sure this is a success, and then we can move on to bigger and more of them through the year as well.
Mm, most definitely.
Make up for all the lost ones that we had last year.
Yeah. We had a lot on this morning's show too, a lot to do with other things that have been affected because of COVID, like border crossings and the like.
Yeah, that's true.
How you have to always carry your license with you.
Yep, so a little bit of that, as there is pretty much every day now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we're not going to start with that. We're going to start with this. Yesterday, at about this time, we talked to horoscope expert and psychic, Rose Smith. You were obviously very excited about it, Lou. You organised it for us.
I love it.
I have to admit, and no disrespect to Ms. Smith, but I didn't find her all that convincing. What she gave...
Matt. I've got a story that will convince you of psychic ability.
Well, that's interesting because we were arguing about it yesterday in our intro to our catch-up podcast. Now, you can listen to that on triplem.com.au. We had a real ding-dong about the accuracy and the truth of psychics and mediums and all that.
Yeah.
And yes, you did say you had a story that would amaze me and potentially make me change my attitude to and not be quite so sceptical. So, all right, Lou, I'm all ears. Go for it.
Okay, so I believe I actually have a little bit of psychic ability, but one thing I do have is I have premonitions. I dream things that come true.
All right.
So picture this. I'm 12 years old. It's quite a number of years ago now. I'm 12 years old.
Yes.
And I had a dream that my dad passed away. Now, my dad did pass away when I was 12 years old. I should say that straight up. But I had a dream, this was many years before it happened, that my dad passed away. And when it happened, I would be at home. Other family members who live away from home, this was in Brisbane, my brother and my sister would be there staying at the house. And because they were staying at the house, I wouldn't be sleeping in my own bed. I was sleeping in one of those fold-out single beds.
So this was your premonition.
This was my premonition.
About.
I had this full dream. It was really detailed about the scenario of when my dad passed away. And it was about 5 years before, 4 or 5 years before.
Yeah.
So fast forward to when I turned 12 and I was staying with some friends at the Gold Coast for a weekend. They had a holiday house there. Police knocked on the door and came to get me and said, "Your dad's very sick. He's in hospital. You need to get back to Brisbane."
Yeah.
So they took me back to Brisbane. And of course, when I got there, my brother from Central Queensland and my sister from Central Queensland were both there. They didn't live in Brisbane. And when I went into my room, I was to sleep in this fold-out bed. Mum said to me, "Well, I will put the fold-out bed up for you so you can sleep in here and your brother can sleep in your bed," and you know. So it was exactly as I dreamt it, like exactly as I dreamt it years before. And when it happened, I remembered my dream straight away. Like, honestly, just it struck me like a bolt of lightning. I went, "Oh, my goodness, I dreamt this exactly as it's turned out." It was really, really odd.
Yeah.
Really weird.
That is.
So,
I mean, part of me wants to say it was a coincidence, but...
Well, potentially, but what a weird and specific coincidence.
It is very weird.
That's the way I looked at it. It was like, no, it's a little bit too specific.
That is very specific, especially the whole fold-out bed.
Yeah, that was the thing that really struck me, was that whole scenario.
Now, we said we were going to do this, Lou. I'm going to open my mind up a little bit. I'm going to try not to be...
Have I changed your viewpoint a little bit?
Well... I mean, that does...
It's very specific.
It doesn't necessarily convince me, but it is extra... I have to admit, that is kind of freaky. But I'm all ears. 133353. Have you got a story that will similarly amaze me and potentially other sceptics listening to this as well, who would then go, "Hang on a minute, maybe there's something..."
Maybe there's something to it.
Maybe there's something else going on here. 133353. Because from what you told me yesterday... Lou, you said that there are quite a few people around who have similar, you reckon, might
Yeah,
have
I reckon people have premonitions a bit. And so maybe you've had a premonition about something that was going to happen. And again, it was quite specific. And then when the thing happened, you went, "Oh, my Lord, I dreamt that."
Or still could be coincidence.
Felt that. And look, you can always explain things away if you want to.
133353. Convince me that there's something else going on. Well, Brenton from Wangaratta has given us a call. Hey, Brenton, you've got a pretty crazy story for us, apparently.
I do, Matt, and hey, Lou. I'm not here to convince anyone about psychics, but in my previous job, I was in the Queensland Police for 25 years, and I was actually up in central Queensland at Rockhampton.
Yeah.
And I had this dream at about 2:30 in the morning, and the dream was so real that I actually woke my wife and told her all about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Told her the story, and then later on that morning, and I'm not going to tell you what the story was straight away, then 6 o'clock that morning, I started work at North Rockhampton Station, where I got a phone call that I had to go to a cemetery where there was a fella digging up bodies overnight. And I was with my partner at the time, Dave Warwick, and I told my partner, Dave Warwick, all about my dream. And the dream was that there was a person, and this is at 2 o'clock in the morning, don't forget, the dream was that there was someone digging up dead bodies at a cemetery, and it was a rainy morning. When we go in... talk to the person digging up these bodies, sorry if it's gruesome for anybody out there, that we end up finding out who the person is, and his name's Jesus. And I'm having to arrest Jesus, yeah? And then later on that day, after arresting Jesus, I get killed in a car accident. Not good. So we go out to the scene, and sure enough, there's old mate out there digging up his bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Dave, "I want nothing to do with this day. I want nothing to do with it." And let him do the talking, and Dave could not get the name out of this fella. And after about 5 minutes, 10 minutes of saying, what's his name? I said, "Dave, you already know what his name is." And I looked at old mate who was in the knee deep in mud, and I said, "Mate, your name's Jesus." And he goes, "How did you know my name?" And I said, that's it.
Oh, Dion, it's giving me goosebumps.
You're being 100% here, right?
100% legit. And I'll give you the short version. 100% legit, and because I'd even rang my boss beforehand because I thought they were taking the mickey out of me when they rang up about this, because I thought my wife actually
that is
yeah I actually
it.
thought I thought my wife had rung them up and said, "Hey, do a joke on Brenton."
No.
But, yeah, and so I just rang the boss up and said, "That's it. I'm walking home. I'm not getting in the car for the rest of the day." And I did.
Oh man,
I was in full uniform, handed my belt over to my partner, got back up. I said, "I'm walking home." And I can tell you,
crazy.
7K walk home. I've never been more careful crossing the road.
And that's
and you survived
true story.
The day, which is brilliant.
Right. Well, that is.
I went home and went to bed.
That is amazing. That is legitimately amazing story. I don't know what to feel when I hear about someone.
Oh, yeah. Brenton, thank you for sharing that with us. That's great.
Good on you guys.
I feel vindicated now.
Well, no, I mean,
I don't believe in the psychic stuff.
But I had the same thing
could
as you.
Could have been
a premonition.
Man, that's a pretty crazy coincidence, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brenton. 7:15. I need the right music for this.
I like traffic lights. I like traffic lights. I like traffic lights. Traffic lights, mm-hmm. But only when they're green.
That's the one.
I do believe Daniel Andrews himself sang that.
He would. Definitely karaoke night over at Daniel Andrews'
lights.
House.
Loves them.
Now, there was a major loophole, of course, in this traffic light permit system in Victoria, and we talked about it extensively last week. In fact, I called the COVID-19 Victorian government hotline.
You did, didn't you?
I did, Lou, because I posed the question, well, you know, if my mum comes up from Woodend, just outside of Melbourne, comes to Albury, then she has to go back into Victoria because it was an orange zone. She had to get tested and isolated until she got the results. But I, as a border resident, could just travel back into Victoria with her and then just do whatever the hell I like without a test or isolation.
Without a care in the world, quite frankly.
That's right. So, anyway, Daniel Andrews came out yesterday and he said, and because the situation has been obviously so good on the border and right the way across the border as well, so it's not just here.
Donuts all round.
All the way across. Mm. Now it's considered a green zone, and that deserves a round of applause.
Well
and that
done.
Means
well
that
done, Aubrey.
Mum can go back into Victoria. Yep. She comes up and she doesn't have to test or isolate before she gets
results.
Which is
lovely. And it is good news for a lot of people that live on the north side of the border because obviously there was just that issue of family not being able to come up.
That's right. Not just family either, tourism.
Well,
so the people involved in tourism are very happy about it because even if it's only a small... And we're going to find out from your nephew about the whole permit system and the testing and isolation part. It's not actually that bad, but it puts people off, you know, and that's what they're worried about, the tourism operators. It just puts people off.
Yeah, especially if you've booked a holiday, I suppose, and you've only got a limited amount of time in a place and a couple of those days are going to have to be spent doing nothing. Because potentially by the time you get there and then get tested...
It'd work in reverse, Lou. They're coming over to Albury.
Yeah, sorry, when you get home. Yep. So when you get home and you've probably got to go to work, you're going to have to take an extra couple of days just to kind of go through the motions of doing the
right
thing. Anyway.
That's right.
So see how confusing it is? We talk about it every day and I'm still confused about it.
I know. Lou, just listen to the song and don't worry.
Traffic lights. I like traffic lights.
It's karaoke night over at Daniel Andrews' place, everybody. It's only one song on repeat.
Traffic lights, but only when they're green.
Yes, indeed.
Now, yesterday we were talking about the border crossing and the fact that, you know, obviously it's still there. For how long, who knows?
God,
border crossings, I should say. And yesterday I had the nightmare scenario as a local having to cross the border. So I had to nick over to Bellbridge to pick something up from a friend yesterday. And I didn't even think twice about the fact that I would have to go through a checkpoint, right? Because Bellbridge is in Victoria and I live in Victoria. But, therein lies the problem because to get to Bellbridge in Victoria, I need to go out of Victoria into New South Wales very briefly back into Victoria.
So you've got to pass a checkpoint.
Yes.
And you know, you've got to do it right.
Correct. So on the way there, not so much of a hassle, I would have thought. Like I thought, okay, I'm just going there and it's when I get back and whatever. And I thought, I put my handbag in the car, which ordinarily has my wallet in it. My wallet, not in my handbag.
Oh,
what?
Yes. So no license.
No license. Oh, my Lord. So I took it out to go to the gym yesterday and put it in my gym bag and I forgot to put it back in my handbag. So as we're pulling up to the checkpoint, I started to panic because I'm like, oh, my God, because I pulled my bag towards me to grab my wallet.
Yeah, no wallet.
And luckily my nephew was with me, Greg, and he goes, that's fine. You'll have something in your glove box that's got your address on it. Don't panic. Anyway, then I was in such a tiz. When I got to the Bellbridge checkpoint, which you can't drive into Bellbridge without going through the checkpoint at the end of the bridge.
Yeah.
I just sort of kept driving. And the officer goes, Ollie, hang on, where are you going? I said, oh, sorry, I was just going to pull over. And he goes, I'm not just standing here to enjoy the view. I felt like such an idiot. And then so I've pulled over. He was just making a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I've pulled over. Fortunately, Greg managed to rummage around in my glove box and find a couple of things that had, one that had my address on it and something else that had a photo on it, an old passport of all things that had my photograph
on it.
They
let you through.
So they let me through and they were fine about it.
What would have happened if you didn't have anything?
Well,
they just would have said they can't let you in.
I think they probably would have said they can't let me in because they don't know where I've come from.
And then you'd have to do the park of shame. You'd have to park it up somewhere.
And then call Michael and say, can you bring my wallet over with my driver's license?
You know what you'd have to do? You'd have to drive into work. Well, it was after working hours, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Unless you've got something
here. No, it was after working hours. Yeah. And I've got nothing here that's got my ID on it.
That's what you should do. You should leave an ID here because it could happen again and you'll need
Don't say that. Well, I've got a passport in my thing. So at least it's got a photo because they want photo ID.
Yeah.
They were fairly adamant about that. But anyway, all's well that ends well. But I must say, I really panicked initially. I'm like, what am I going to do? And I've literally had a nightmare about the same scenario where I haven't had my license with me and I couldn't get home. So just a little tip, make sure you've got a couple of IDs, maybe one that you just put somewhere in your car.
Or if you live in a half-decent state, you'll have an electronic driver's license.
Shut
in New South Wales, because they haven't done it yet in Victoria.
No, we haven't got them.
Why have they not done
it? Such a good idea. Come on. Come on, Vic Roads.
Now, there are a lot of question marks about a whole lot of stuff in 2021, of course. Now, a lot of people are very interested in real estate because it's definitely one of the most important things in most people's lives.
It certainly is. And with a lot of people potentially moving around, and we've heard from other various different sources that people are moving from capital cities to rural cities, we just wanted to find out how the real estate market is here locally, and who better to talk to than from First National Benici and Associates, Will Benici. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, great. Thank you. So, Will, how is the market locally at the moment? Is it strong?
It is extremely strong. We'd probably call Albury Wodonga a hotspot, but in the current pandemic climate, we probably won't.
Can't do that.
So we'll just say that. Look, that the market is extremely strong, and there's some really great tips for not only buyers but also vendors and sellers, because in a rising market, there are some tips to stop you getting caught in those traps that a lot of people get caught in.
Yeah. Well, but before we
go,
why is it so strong?
Look, I suppose I'm calling it the perfect storm. We've got we've always had a very strong economy here on the border. We're resilient. The last 12 months has really shown us that, not just with the pandemic but with the fires and the drought. But what we're seeing is that there are some good drivers for people to be able to relocate here. Our local market is so mature. Bearing in mind that, the biggest push came for Albury Wodonga in the 70s. So a lot of those people that came to Albury Wodonga, I mean, forget the local people, but the people that came back in the 70s that were maybe 25, 30, they're at retirement age, and a lot of their kids are coming home to roost. So we're seeing a lot of people returning home. It is the perfect storm for the market at the minute, and there's not enough stock. So again, it's retail 101. Not enough stock, too many buyers, prices are
well, that's good
up.
News at least.
Yeah.
For a better year than last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so it's really important. We're finding that a lot of buyers are missing out. And especially first-time buyers who may have not done it before. This is the first time they're out there, and they really need to make sure that they've got their ducks in order, so to speak,
ducks in a row. Gotcha.
Make sure their finances are right and ready to move. But the market is extremely strong. We are getting record prices. Properties that are selling, we're getting, on the weekend we had 32 groups through an open home, and they're city-centric numbers.
Yeah, that is incredible. Will Benici from First National, thank you so much. I mean, things are looking good for a much better year than last year, which is something to be thankful for. Thanks so much, mate.
You're welcome. Have a great year, guys.